Moving On by Charlotte Greengrass.
Hello, who's that?
Mrs. Henderson?
Yes, that's me.
I'm Joan Clark. I have an appointment with you. I'll hold up my identity card to your window.
OK, I'll just unlock Fort Knox. Come in. Just through here. Do you want a cuppa? I've just made a pot.
No, thanks. Oh, you get a good view over the Keys, don't you?
Yes. Things have changed a lot since I first moved in.
Wait till the BBC moves up here. I wonder what their people will make of it.
I know what they want to make of my home. The new Blue Peter Garden.
Yes, I think somebody mentioned that. But they also said the main reason that you didn't want to leave was a coat stand. Was that it in the hall? Mahogany, isn't it?
That's it. That's why I'm not moving.
But all the houses round here are empty. You must be very lonely.
I'm lonely anyway without George.
George?
My husband. 2 years next spring he passed away.
I'm sorry.
It seems like yesterday. Well, no, it seems like forever. And like yesterday, if you know what I mean.
How does that have anything to do with a coat stand?
We argue about it, me and my kids, all the time. Silly, most families argue about money, jewels, things like that. But in my family, it's the coat stand. You see, it's got George's two favourite coats on it, and his hat. He took a pride in his appearance, you know.
But why do they stop you from moving?
Because the new place they offered me only has a double porch, no hallway, and you're straight in the living room. Even I wouldn't have a coat stand in the living room.
I do see your point, but...
His coats and hats have always been hung on the stand by the door. Everyone says I should chuck them, like getting rid of every sign of George. They even sent a bereavement support worker from the council. She said, bereaved people can't move on if they keep clothes around. But what does moving on really mean? There can't be only one right way. I say I'm the one of my own and those coats are staying.
They remind me of something and I can't think what. I hate it when that happens, don't you?
It's real Harry's tweed from Lewis's. The store in Piccadilly. You're probably too young to remember. We chose it together. We always bought our clothes together. If one of us didn't like anything, we wouldn't buy it. And the Mac was made locally, I think. These days they're all from abroad.
A lot of memories, then. I think I understand.
There's nothing else of his around. Except the hat, of course. The funeral hat, we call it. You know, no one ever went to a funeral bareheaded or to church. My lads came to George's funeral with no hats and no coats. What would George have said seeing that? If it weren't for the coats, I probably wouldn't go out anywhere.
I don't quite get that. Do you like to wear them?
Don't be daft. It's just they welcome me home after an evening out. I have to seem okay with my friends. But when I really feel lost, it's like a small part of him's still there. I really find them comforting. I have moved on. I've accepted losing a wonderful man. I can't accept that his things aren't worth keeping.
I remember.
What?
What they remind me of. There's a drawing by Lowry. And in the film that they show in the gallery, you see his coats and hats hanging there in his actual house. Your coats remind me of that.
Don't remember that one.
I wonder whether the Lowry Centre would be interested in seeing your coats.
What for?
For an exhibit. After all, they've had an exhibition of people's own versions of the football match. This could be something similar.
I don't understand.
Well, Lowry was an ordinary Salford man, so was George. The coats could look good in the same room as the drawings of them, with a sign saying, "These are the coats of George Henderson, Salford man, born and bred." Something like that. If we could find a new home for George's coats, a pride of place, wouldn't that be better?
You mean, would I be prepared to move?
It's your decision, of course.
So, I'd be moving on and moving at the same time.
Goodness, now I feel awful. It's as though I've pulled your past life to pieces. I didn't mean to do that at all. Look, let's sit down for a little longer.
And I'll pour you that cuppa now. Milk and sugar?
Lovely. Just milk, no sugar.
Don't feel guilty, love. You were just doing your job. There you are.
But there are different ways of doing a job. You know, I never usually have time for this kind of thing while I'm working. It can be really boring. I love hearing about your attitude to life. There's no one in my family from your generation.
I'm pretty ordinary, really. So is George.
Ordinary and orderly, I'd say.
Orderly? Me?
Yes. You know, the way you had standards. Sort of rules to live by. Pleasing each other, looking smart, all that. It seems a good way of looking at things.
Maybe. At least we did know what to expect and what was expected of us. But I look at my grandkids today and wonder, talk about not wearing coats. All I see of my girls is bare midriffs and piercings. But today we don't judge on appearances, and I like that. I can't say which is best, really.
But I now see that keeping the coats is as much about remembering the way you lived as what you wore.
Maybe you're right. No one else has understood like you.
Thank you for that. And for the tea. I really must be off now. Here's my card. Phone any time. Bye. I'll get back in touch very soon.
Bye. Come back for a chat whenever you like. Hello, John Lovey. Have you got a minute? You'll never guess what's happened today.
In Moving On, Elsie Waterhouse played Mrs. Henderson and Angela Moore played Joan. The piece was written by Charlotte Greengrass and directed by Simon Beswick.